If you would join me in our prayer for understanding of God's Word. Holy Spirit, your people call out for understanding. Bring to your yearning hearts and minds the truth of your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture today comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. Now concerning food sacrificed to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Anyone who claims to know something does not yet have the necessary knowledge, but anyone who loves God is known by him. Hence, as to eating food offered to idols, we know that no idol in the world really exists, and that there is no God but one. Indeed, even though there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as in fact there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all things are and from whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, whom all are things and through whom we exist. It is not everyone, however, who has this knowledge, since some idols have become so accustomed to idols until now, they still think of food they eat as food offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not bring us close to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For others see you, who possess knowledge, eating in the temple of an idol, might they not, since their conscience is weak, be encouraged to the point of eating food sacrificed to idols? So by your knowledge, those weak believers for whom Christ died are destroyed. But when you thus sin against members of your family and wound their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food is a cause of their falling, I will never eat meat so that I may not cause one of them to fall. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks to Coach Smith for helping us to continue in our celebration this morning. Thank you, my friend. Join with me in prayer. We thank you, loving God, for how you continue to speak. Your word gives us truth to ponder, to carry, to be changed by. Thank you for your grace that helps in all of that. And it's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. Go ahead and look at somebody. Don't look at me for the next 15 seconds. Look at somebody else. Look at somebody maybe you've been wanting to look at, and go ahead and look them right in the eyes. Get their attention. Look them right in the eyes and say, "You are what you eat." And I'll give you a few moments just to ponder that truth. So who was in cookie time today? Okay. So you eat a cookie. Does that mean you become a cookie? Does that mean people can call you cookie now or just say, "Hey, you are what you eat"? I was thinking about this, and I wanted to give you some numbers also. Not only is there a game today, but there's a lot of eating around that game. Let me give you some numbers, some estimates. There will be 29 million pounds of chips eaten. This is a sad one. There will be 1.23 billion wings eaten. All those poor little chickens just running around now. There will be 3.8 million pounds of popcorn eaten. Do you know how much popcorn that is? 4 million pizzas. And this is not appropriate to a United Methodist Church, I understand, but I needed to give you this number. 325.5 million gallons of beer. That's a lot. That is a lot. I get kind of filled up just thinking about that. And yet I was thinking about food because while the passage today is not simply about food, food is key to so much we do. Now, I talk to people and we'll text back and forth and we'll say, when do you want to get together at Starbucks? And we'll go ahead and do that. And it's great, but it's around coffee. I love talking to people and I love doing that around coffee. I enjoy it. Or let's get together over lunch or fill in the blank. You see, food can be such a wonderful component to fellowship. And Paul, in essence, is saying that to the church at Corinth. Food is not how we receive salvation, Paul is reminding them. Our relationship with God through Jesus Christ is how we receive salvation. So he's helping to refocus them on what is most important. Certainly, there were individuals in the church, as there are all the time, who felt that they knew what someone else needed more than that person did. I want you to look at somebody else right now and repeat these words. I know what's best for you. Now, maybe you've been wanting to say that also, okay? So in church, we've all gotten it out there. We're laying it all on the table there. We're laying all of our cards out. I know what's best for you. There were individuals in the Corinthian church that they, in essence, felt smarter than other people. And in fact, they looked down on other people in their very church. Now, I understand that never happens anymore. And it certainly never happened at Gila Mountain United Methodist Church. Never. Paul is addressing it very clearly that we are in this as brothers and sisters in Christ now, as kin, those who are related, as family, we are in this together. Different images come to mind. The images of sacrifice. It's kind of an unusual thing for us to think of anymore. Sacrificing an animal to an idol. We don't necessarily think about that anymore. But in this city, that was something that was commonplace. Sometimes then the meat, while a portion of it went to those who were leading in that sacrifice, there was also a portion that might have been sold in the market. And that's where those who felt that they had a greater knowledge and were puffing themselves up. Look how smart I am. We're looking down at others who might just have had a bite of meat that had been used in one of these sacrifices. Paul is saying that doesn't determine our salvation. That doesn't determine our relationship with God. And we shouldn't hold that over someone else's head. If we are in this together, we're really in this together. And we're willing to work together. And it's not about us being puffed up, because that doesn't build community, does it? It's about us building up one another. It's about humility. It's about looking at how we can support one another, not break down one another. It's about looking to see God in one another at work. Now, sometimes that's tough, isn't it? Sometimes that's a challenge. But that, my friends, was the call then, and it continues to be the call this very day. Who defines us? God and God alone. And if we want to talk about knowledge, it's not the knowledge that we have, but it's God's knowledge of us that defines us as belonging to Him and as His people. Brothers and sisters, once again, table fellowship was important in the early church. It really was. And celebrating the blessing of food as it is today when we get together as friends, as those who are loved and love one another. It's important. And this morning we do that once again. We have table fellowship once again as we commune with God, as we share these gifts of grace that are provided by God and God alone. The early church, as they celebrated around the table, I invite those who are going to be serving communion to come forward at this time. The early church certainly recalled, and the church throughout history, and we do today, what was done. It's quite remarkable. Jesus was gathered with friends. And as they had food in front of them, which was a blessing, He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you, offered for you. You are now my body in the world." The body of Christ broken for the people of God, and we are the people of God. Thanks be to God. And again, remarkable words. Jesus had a knack for doing that, didn't he? Saying remarkable things that we remember. He poured out the cup and he said, "This is my blood shed for you, offered for you, given for you." He did this not in a puffed up way, but in a way of example that we remember as Jesus served, we are called to serve one another as well. And as we are forgiven, we remember that that forgiveness and grace is offered to all. This blood of Christ shed for the forgiveness of sins is a reminder of grace offered to the people of God. We are the people of God. Thanks be to God. After the communion stewards receive the elements of grace, you're invited to come forward under the direction of the ushers. This is an open table. That means all are welcome. Also at the station that I will be serving at, we have gluten-free communion wafers available for those who are in need.